Welcome to Happy News Network.
We are here to brighten your week while you take a break from doom scrolling.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Shayna.
We wanted to brighten social media, so we decided to make a podcast all about happy news.
Join us as we discuss our happy news finds.
Shayna, what is your happy news this week?
I started swimming again.
Yes.
Love. Not like on a team, but there's a local aquatic center and I go a couple times a week and I do my laps and I swim a lot less than I used to and I'm a lot slower than I used to be, but I'm just really enjoying it. It's just it's like a dancer going back to dance again. It just feels good.
Yeah. Oh, sweet. I love that. Your body's probably like, thank you.
It is. Like some days my shoulders are like, can you move us a little more? My legs are like, can you kick more? Like, no, I'm walking.
I love that. Oh, cool. Congrats.
Thank you. And what's happy in your world?
It's been raining here in Colorado where like it doesn't rain and I'm loving it. I just planted my garden last weekend and now all this natural rain is so much better than hose water and I'm pumped about it. Like ready for a thriving herb garden. Let's go.
Oh, you're going to cook so many really good savory dishes with those herbs in a few weeks.
Oh yeah. So pumped.
All right. Well, what's your first happy news of the week?
So this is ridiculous. It started out as a silly like Twitter feed that I was reading and then it completely captured my interest and I'm going to share it with you. So at Sage Boggs said that they were at a party and saw a box of Triscuits and they were like, where is Triscuit? Like, where did that come from? The word Triscuit. What does Triscuit even mean? Like Triscuit, kind of like a biscuit. Okay. But like, what about the try at the beginning? Well, try means three. So maybe it's like three layers of that like crunchy business, or there's only three ingredients, something about three and a biscuit. Sure. So this person Googled it and there were no answers, just more people with like, maybe it's this. It could be that, like a ton of like theories. And I'm here for like Triscuit theories. Like that's ridiculous. I love that. So Sage Boggs fully just like emailed Nabisco. I was like, what the heck is Triscuit? Like, where did that come from? And Nabisco's official response was, no business records survived, which specifically explain the origins or inspiration for the name Triscuit. The try does not mean three. So like what? Also, please tell me what happened at Nabisco that nothing survived. Like what happened?
I'm picturing like the Great Muppet Caper, but with like Nabisco recipes.
Right? Like, absurd, absolutely absurd. So at Sage Boggs did more online like sleuthing. He was like, I did some online sleuthing and found old Triscuit ads. And they all said things like Triscuit, the electric baked biscuit, or Triscuit baked by electricity. And after a bit more research, found that Triscuits were made in Niagara Falls, hence the electric baked ads. Electricity. Biscuit, try biscuit, Triscuit. Like, isn't that absurd? So Sage Boggs like typed all of this out that they found online, tagged at the real Triscuit, and then they responded with, we had to go all the way up the ladder, but can confirm electricity biscuit. Bam. There you go.
I don't have words. That's so cool. My whole family is full of Triscuit eaters and I can't wait to share this with them. I wish I could follow with something cool like that. I'm going to talk about Lincoln Center in New York because they've got this initiative to kickstart the arts this summer. It's called Restart Stages. So they're putting on 10 outdoor concerts and shows this summer at the Josie Robertson Plaza. And the plaza is reimagined by Tony-winning set designer Mimi Lean. And Mimi is planning to turn this 14,000 square foot concrete expanse, like the big plaza with the fountain and everything, she's going to make it a more inhabitable, inviting environment. Like, she wants to transform this space into an outdoor venue where people can read books or get their coffee and sit in the sun. And she wants to make it accessible. So they're going to use grass because it just seems like the right medium and vehicle to transform the space without having to build lots of stuff. So it's going to have this open expanse, very green town feeling. And the plaza is now being called The Green. So The Green features grass-like recyclable bio-based SYN lawn material. So it's a very eco-friendly substance and it's mobility friendly. So there's detection options for people who are blind or have low vision. So there's like cane detection that they can use. So it's really, it just seems really cool. And I think everyone always feels more chipper in the summer when there's more sunshine all around. And to be able to have that combination of sunshine and being outdoors with arts, I just can't wait to go experience it.
Oh yeah, that's amazing. I love that.
Are there any plazas like that where you are in Colorado?
Kinda. I mean, there's not a ton. Maybe there. Honestly, I have no idea. I'm just going to say I have no idea. I feel like there has to be. Like, we have Red Rocks, but that's not really the same.
Sure.
We have like,
but you've been able to do shows outdoors. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We have outdoor venues and we have, yeah, but nothing as like innovative as that.
I think it's derived from the idea that New York doesn't have lots of dedicated outdoor spaces and they've had to get innovative to try and transform what they do have into something new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
So clever. So clever. Look at us. So my next article is like the school year is winding down and it's over for a lot of people, but I found this awesome story out of Spain. So Spain started a fresh air project with the goal of better air quality for children. School teachers are taking to the beaches at 9 a.m. to set up desks for students and like mobile chalkboards and stuff. And they're having their classes outside on the beach. And teachers said that they've noticed that students are doing better in school. Like, I don't know. You learn a lot growing up about like what helps you remember things. And it's different for everybody, but a lot of it is like, not really muscle memory, but if you like see a word, it makes you think of, well, I read that word while I was doing this thing and this is what it was. Okay, here we are. And so a lot of students talked about like, you know, I'm not wearing shoes and my toes are just playing in the sand and I can remember, oh yeah, this thing, here we are. People like they're just, the students are just retaining information better. I think that's amazing. And one student said, I feel more relaxed and comfortable. And local residents of the beach love the idea so much that they dressed up as Roman soldiers and taught the children the history of fishing and where their dinner comes from. Like, I just think it's so cute. Like, it's so brilliant. If you can be outside, go outside. I love it so much. And just to say, just quickly, classrooms stay in their own pods. So classrooms are not intermingling and they've had no cases of coronavirus reported. So I just think that's brilliant. Let's always do school outside on the beach. Go.
Yes. I think everyone in Ohio is going to have to just come visit Florida and go to the beach here. As a New Jerseyite, like I kind of am obsessed with it. Like where was the beach option when I was growing up? I'm a little offended.
Right. Yeah, like in Ohio, please don't go to the beaches near the Ohio River. Like that's worse than anything you
just
could
go
ever
do. Just go sit out on the like basketball court or the tennis court or like the whatever play area is and just get some extra sensory stimulation in a way that's engaging.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that's so true. Like, it makes me think of like clever. Those kid museums. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It is clever. Yeah. Like, did you have like a Please Touch museum or something that was interactive as a kid?
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like I remember those museum visits more than any textbook.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing that news.
Mm-hmm.
All right. There is a lovely Israeli student named Asil Nama. She is a student at Technion Israel Institute of Technology who discovered two asteroids. Oh, yeah. And they're going to be named after her.
Goals. Wow. Who knew? There we are.
Right? So she was the lone solo participant in NASA's citizen scientist competition. So people could enter in teams and they would parse astronomical data. Astronomical, not like as in some adjective, but actual tangible astronomical data. And Aseel said it was her dream and she couldn't get anyone to partner alone, like with her. So she just entered alone and did it by herself because it was her dream to partake in this. So she used this technique called segmentation. So it's an imaging technique. NASA sent out sets of photos and videos, and it was her job to go through them, I presume segment by segment, and just really analyze them for while searching for new asteroids. So the International Astronomical Search Collaboration has certified her discovery, and she named her team Aseel Nama Israel because it was just her. So it's just ANI. So the steroids are going asteroids, not the steroids, the asteroids.
Whatever, the asteroids, man.
Right? Oh, everything's at no rules in space. the asteroids are going to be called ANI 1801 and ANI 2001.
Cute.
Yeah.
I love that.
I believe they're in the asteroid belt. I think that I presume this project was to identify more of what's inside the asteroid belt and discover more about it.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I'm like, how do you even, what is even the first step of like, I'm going to find an asteroid? Well, let me real quick, like, what do you even do first? What do you even do?
I feel like it's very Where's Waldo-y. Like, I just, like, someone gives you a photo and you're like, where's asteroid?
You're like, it's not in here. I know it. There's none.
I know. And then it like surprise pops out at you.
Right.
It kind of reminds me of the citizen, the photo and video analyzers with the tigers mm-hmm. in Nepal that we talked about last season. Like everyone can partake in this really cool activity and eventually something will get discovered or noticed or observed.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's like, you've got the people, do it, you know?
Yeah, and it lets students discover their own abilities.
Yeah, how cool. How would you like to come across a resume that has like, I have two asteroids named after me? Like, okay.
Yes, you're hired. Yes, you're hired. Please come be our executive assistant.
Right.
No, I have very high hopes that Aseel will be doing a lot more with the overall space topic in her life.
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about her more, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love. Another amazing person. I've got Lacenta Lewis Ellis from South Carolina. She was a single mother living in low-income housing and like all around not having the best time. And she decided to go to school for construction. And she said that was because she likes to see deliverable finished products. Like, that's brilliant. And she started her own business. And 10 years later, it now makes up to $1.4 million a year. And she said the secret to her success is that she noticed large construction companies didn't take on small repairs and renovations. So that's what she does. And being a successful woman in a male-dominated industry has like not been easy, obviously. So she's using what she's learned to help with like community service and mentoring other females that want to go into not only construction, but other male-dominated industries. And what I think is so beautiful just about that quick story is that she once struggled with housing and now she's able to help others with the exact same issue. I just think that's a beautiful, like, full circle moment, if you will.
That is really beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. It's she seems like a really resilient person.
Yeah, yeah. So, and every picture I saw of her, she's just like smiling from ear to ear. Like, I love these stories of like, you know what, this sucks. I need to do something about it, and now I'm going to help other people who are in that same boat. You know.
Sure. And I love that she looked around and saw this need and she went, well, I'll do it. And now she's not only doing it, she's doing it and succeeding professionally, which is helping her succeed personally.
Yeah. And she said at first she did the small stuff because they just didn't have the capital to do big stuff, you know, that it costs money. So she just couldn't. But then she realized, oh, we're the only ones doing this. will continue to be the only ones that do this.
Mm-hmm. Good on her. It's amazing. Yeah. I mean, you think about where you were a decade ago. I imagine for her, that decade reflection process is really, really lovely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You've got so many lovely, inspiring articles today. Thanks for sharing all of them.
Mm-hmm. Happy news.
Oh yes. It's, I don't know. It just makes, it just puts a, puts one of those ear to ear smiles on our faces.
Yeah.
Okay. So my final article, here's a headline for you. Microbiology student makes a Petri dish masterpiece.
Okay. I'm ready. Let's go. Let's dive in.
All right. Microbiology doctoral student Balaram Kamari. He's always felt the connection between art and science. He says, even doing a science experiment requires art, which is so true when you consider architecture, design processes, or even things like prop foods and liquids and shows. Like, there's a science to making fake blood or fake mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
So he's just literally making science art. So Balaram is culturing colorful bacteria and arranging it artfully on agar. Do you remember science class? Do you remember agar jelly?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's that. So for people who don't know or don't remember, it's a jelly-like substance and you can sort of manipulate it and form it into different shapes and consistencies. So he does that on the Petri dish to make art. And this is evidently a growing activity among scientists, which is great. Like, get your art on. And they can even compete for prizes. So Balaram recently won an award for his art. He made a microbial peacock. Oh yeah. It's made from E. coli, the bacteria we call a staph infection, and a gut bacterium called Enterococcus facialis.
Oh, right.
Yes. That's the one.
Right. Obviously.
So he recommends that people not try this at home.
Weird.
Because, you know, shocker, he's highly trained in handling pathogenic materials, whereas most people are not. So.
And wearing a hazmat suit to create art. Like, who doesn't, though? Who doesn't?
I mean, if you're spray painting, just put on the mask. So I just feel like that there's definitely such a connection between art and science. We usually talk about one or the other. I felt like I had to share this blending article.
Yeah, I love that. I love a good crossover, kind of. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, do you remember bio class? And you're like touching all the weird substances and you're like, what does that do? And they're like, don't touch it.
Yeah, they're like, don't touch it. Don't lick it. And I'm like, all right, well.
what's the immune system good for anyway?
All right. I'm 16. I'll be fine.
Look how we all turned out.
Yikes.
Okay. So Kristen, what are you looking forward to?
I think we might go up into the mountains today just to do a little scenic drive. One of our favorite passes across the Continental Divide is reopened and it's just really pretty to drive the Continental Divide. I just like to say that, like, I've crossed the Continental Divide 4 times this year. Like, how stupid is that? It's so cool.
That's adorable. That's like living on the equator and being like, I crossed the equator today.
Right.
Thank you.
Right. Like, whoa, the water flows that way now. Woo-hoo.
You know, it's so much easier than being like, I crossed the dateline yesterday and again today and again yesterday. Like, I just, so much better. Continental Divide.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think we're going to do that today. So I'm excited about it.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. What are you looking forward to?
Okay. So in my infinite wisdom, I ordered a junior size of goggles, which is a little tight on the eyes when I swim. So I'm looking forward to breaking in my new adult women's size goggles.
I was like, well, water's certainly not getting in, but your eyes might pop out of the socket.
Or both. Yeah. There were a couple of weeks where I went, God, I don't think there's a leak in these. And then I looked at my purchase and I went, oh, that was not wise. You can still purchase the junior size bathing suit, but your head's too big. Great.
Perfect. Perfect.
So I'm just looking forward to having goggles that don't leak and don't like take the pressure. Like, they don't pop my eyes out. Details. Details.
Oh my God. I love that.
We
love all forms of happy news and happenings.
Be sure to send us your own day-to-day happy news, cute pet stories, kids saying the darndest things, whatever you're up to, we love it all.
Email us at hnnpodcast@gmail.com. Also, follow us on social media at hnnpodcast for happy news throughout the week.
And be sure to subscribe to us through Patreon, where you'll get exclusive content and more.
Until next time, I'm Kristen.
And I'm Shayna.
Have a happy week.